Jesus wants to keep us in his care. Everywhere we go, he's always there. He can give us joy beyond compare. Walking in the goodness of the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord all the way. Keep trusting in his word every day. Keep looking toward the sun. Watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day.
He will then supply our every need. Absolute success is guaranteed.
Walking in the goodness of the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord all the way. Keep trusting in his word every day. Keep looking for the sun. Watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day.
Jesus is our Savior, God and King. We can look to him for everything. After all he's done, let's shout and sing.
Walking in the goodness of the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord all the way. Keep trusting in his word every day. Keep looking for the sun. Watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day.
Good job, young people, tonight. Thank you for preparing. Again, thank you for our teachers and parents for helping them with those things as well. Enjoy school night, getting to see our kids as they prepare and sing, and all that's a good time. We're in Exodus chapter 2. And again, you want to stay for the end of the service because the desserts are out there. Hopefully the ushers are not sampling them. But should we take a vote? We need samples of the desserts before the service. How many of you vote for samples before the service? The only problem is if we did all the samples, you wouldn't buy anything later. So this isn't Costco. You don't get to try it all. So you'll have to imagine what it tastes like, or just buy it afterwards. That works too. And so thank you for those that support and pray and invest in our school. And it is an everlasting and such an important ministry that you get to be part of. And so thank you for that, training up the next generation. We do not have the biggest school. We've never strove to have the largest school. It's for the members of our church. But we want to invest in those that we do have. And I believe that the product of those that are trained here, it speaks for itself. And every child will choose to live for the Lord or not, but I believe they get a great education. Not just a good education, a great education at our school, and such a godly investment. And our young people, really, they serve on a weekly basis. I don't know if you realize that, especially our teenagers on up. They're serving in many, multiple ministries every week and just putting into practice what they're being taught. And that's a blessing to see. And our desire is for them to take that and to continue that on, involved in the church and doing the work of the Lord. We're in Exodus chapter 2 this evening, Exodus chapter 2. And with it being our school night, I want to give you a challenge to our parents, and I believe there'll be a challenge to all of us tonight. It'll apply to our young people, to others as well, in different parts of it. But the Lord put this message on my heart the other day. I was actually listening to a message preached this week, and there was a thought there that I believe is so important for our parents about raising our children for the Lord. And I hope that's our prayer and our desire as the parents, but even the grandparents sometimes, that you're involved in raising, and a part of, whether it be full-time or at times they come, helping to invest in this next generation and raising young people to live for God. And that's our desire. And we have no excuse. We're not trying to hide anything about that. We want our children, our young people, to serve God. We're not forcing them to. It's their choice. But we're going to give them every opportunity, every instruction we can, and encouragement to help them live for God. As you find Exodus 2, would you stand to your feet as we read the scriptures? We're going to read Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And then we're going to turn over to one more verse in the book of Hebrews. I don't want to confuse you, so just stay here for a moment. We'll turn there together in a bit. But in Exodus chapter 2, we see the story of Moses and how God was raising a man that he was going to use to lead the children of Israel, one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. But Moses would not live for God if it wasn't for godly parents. There would never have been a Moses if Moses' parents followed the commandment of the day. If they followed the trend of the day, there was no Moses. And so there was not godly parents to invest in them. So I want to look at this in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. The Bible says, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked alongside by the riverside. And when she saw the ark was among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.'" Now, parents, you wish you could be paid for watching your children as well. And the if we sent a bill to our children, right? Maybe we should start that, shouldn't we? No. And it says, "And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I have drawn him out of the water.'" Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. There's a verse here that correlates to this passage, and in Hebrews 11, verse 23, to the end of your Bible, pretty much. After the Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. Hebrews 11 and verse number 23, and again, this verse you'll see back from the book of Exodus. I hope you held your place. If not, you can find that again in a moment. But in Hebrews 11, 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use this night, Lord, and as you've already blessed and been so encouraged by the young people in their scripture memorization and verses and their singing, and just thank you, Lord, for those that invested in their lives. But Lord, again, most of all, thank you for our parents that have a daily dedication to raise their children for the Lord. Not an easy task, but Lord, we have the Word of God. We have the guide. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use that to raise our children, to love you, Lord, to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you look at these two passages tonight, if you can hold two places, have a bookmarker, whatever it may be. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, it again says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Back in Exodus chapter 2, in verse number 2, it says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months," and then would go on with what she needed to do after that by putting him in the ark and the bulrushes. Let's go back to what was happening in this time. You know the story, many of you. If not, we'll go back either way. The Israelites, they were living in Egypt as God had provided. There was the years of famine, and Joseph was used by God to, on those 7 years of plenty, to store food, and that was enough to keep the Israelites alive. But the Egyptians and the Israelites came and moved into Egypt, and they lived there. But it came a time where God continually blessed his people, and as they lived there and they grew, there became a new Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, didn't have a love for the people there, and he saw that the Israelites in their land were growing and multiplying, and started to get worried that these Jewish people were going to come and take over their land. And so they started to put taskmasters over them, and really the Israelites became their slaves. and they put them to work, and they tried to burden them, but the more that the tasks they put upon them, the more that God's people grew. And so they began multiplying, and so the Pharaoh came out and said, there's a command. There's a command now. And he was worried that they were going to grow up and be a mighty army and take over this nation of Egypt. And as they grew up, and he gave a command to two of the Hebrew midwives. And they're mentioned here in Exodus chapter number 1. And it mentions these two ladies, these midwives that feared God. And he said, when the children are born, if it's a girl, you keep her alive. And if it's a boy, you take that child's life. What a wicked command. How evil that is. And they feared God, they wouldn't do it. And God had favor upon these midwives that feared God over the Pharaoh, the king's commandment. And so Pharaoh went on and charged another command in verse number 22, Exodus 1:22. So now that he commanded the midwives and they didn't listen, now he gives a command to his people. In verse 22, it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people. Think about this. Every one of them was now given a command, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. The Hebrew midwives, they would not listen. And then you have the Egyptians, they were now commanded to take these boys. Can you imagine how horrific that is? By the way, it's murder any stage of the time. No matter how many weeks, how many months old, born or unborn, it's just as much murder as it is once they're born or in the mother's womb. That is a sacred life given by God. And they take those boys, can you imagine, just throw them into the river. How horrible that would be and how traumatic that would be. And you see now in chapter 2 that there was a couple here. It doesn't give their names in chapter 2. It gives Moses' parents' names later on in Exodus chapter 6. It's Jochebed and Amram. And these two, they're Levites, and they got married, and they had this command that they're supposed to kill their own son. Or someone could take their son and throw him in the river. And they hid him for 3 months, as long as they could. And then at the end of 3 months, they couldn't hide him any longer. I don't know how you hide a child for 3 months. And children like to make noise, and they find that out, and this evil proclamation, and they tried to do all that they could to raise this child for God. Why? Because they saw he was a proper child. He was a goodly child. They believed that God had a plan for his life. God had a plan for his life. Doesn't matter what the king said, doesn't matter what society was doing, they believed that his life was special in the sight of God. Although it did not turn out as they would have chosen at the beginning, I don't think any parent would choose to have to give their child away, although he was brought back by God's grace that she could nurse the child and raise him for a time and send him back to Pharaoh's home. This wasn't maybe how they chose it, but God was preparing Moses for such a time as this, if you will, as it is in the book of Esther. God was raising Moses. They did not know it at the time. They did not know all that God had for the life of Moses, but they believed God had something special for his life. They said, I don't care what the command is. I don't care where we live, what's going on. This is God's child, and God has a plan for his life. Is it possible to raise a child to live for the Lord in a sinful world? Is it possible to raise our children in a wicked world that we live in that's going as far away from God as possible? Parents, is it possible? Yes, it is. It is possible. You may have to work extra hard, but it is possible to raise your family to love the Lord and to live for God even in this generation. But may we understand the severity of the moment. May we understand the importance of the moment, that it is our responsibility as parents to raise our children for God. It won't happen by accident. Your children don't just happen to learn God's word and love God and live for God. You can have a good kid come from a bad home and a child that chooses to do wrong from a good home. Either way, but I believe that the answer to our country is to preach the gospel, to reach souls for Christ, and to raise up the next generation in our own homes. The strength or the weakness of our country is right inside of our own homes. And we have an opportunity to influence the next generation. How do you raise a child for the Lord? I believe they give us an example from this passage in Exodus chapter 2. And verse number 1, the Bible says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Number 1, how do you raise a child for the Lord? This may be a little more for our young people, for our kids. First one is this, they married right. They married right. They came from the house of Levi, and one of the Levites came to the other Levi. Again, it was Amram and Jochebed, we see from Exodus chapter 6, but they chose to marry right. They could have chosen to marry someone that lived in the world. They could have chosen to not live for God, but they chose to marry right. And they found someone from the house of Levi. The Levites were a special tribe that God had chosen to set aside of the tribes of Israel. The Levites did not have an inheritance of land in the promised land. God said, you don't get an inheritance of land. He said, I am your inheritance. The Levites would be the priests, the workers in the temple. They'd be the musicians. They would be special in the sight of God, even over and above the other tribes. They were special, God's people. I believe the Levites in many ways were the cream of the crop, that God chose them to do a special task for His work. And I believe that our young people are special. Very special. I believe as Christian young people that you are special and set apart for the Lord. There may not be a more important decision in your life, young people, than marrying right. Other than your salvation, there may not be a more important decision in your life, and all the adults in this room could testify, than to marry the person that God has for your life. You may not understand it right now, young people, but God has someone special set apart for you someday. You say, I wonder if she's in the room right now. Maybe start looking around. And you don't know, by the way. You have no idea. You're like, oh, they couldn't be here. All of a sudden, someday, surprise, oh, they were here along. And you're like, man, I wish I would have behaved myself better. You know, you start thinking back, right? You're like, oh, I did know them all along. How many of you dated or knew your spouse since you were like in grade school? How many of you raise your hand? Only a few of you. I'm surprised. All right, my wife and I, we knew each other vaguely. Her and my sister were friends, and I ignored her. I don't know. I knew of my wife, didn't really spend time with her. We didn't start dating until our senior year in college, and I don't encourage this, by the way, young people, but we started dating our senior year in college, and we got married 11 months later. I know that was a fast track for that, but I believe with all my heart that I marry God's will for my life. And how easily that could have changed the course for my life. And again, I'm not trying to hurt anyone that maybe didn't marry right or divorced or whatever, but parents, grandparents, those in the room, you understand that you would encourage our young people that it is so important to find God's will for your life and to marry right. It's so important. I don't understand why our Christian young people, instead of wanting to marry right and to date right and do things right, are looking to the world for the examples to follow. The world does not know what they're doing in this area, and they live a wicked life and don't know what it is to have a godly, good marriage and homes. Young people, God wants you to marry right. He has a special person set apart for you. If I could give you some encouragement tonight to our young people in this point, stay pure. The best thing you could do, Amram and Jochebed, maybe they would start noticed each other and started talking, and maybe, you know, one's dad paid the goats to the other dad for them to get married. I don't know how it all worked, all right? But I know this, that at some point they had to decide they wanted to do God's will for their life and had to decide, am I going to stay pure and live for God, or am I going to live like the world? They're living in Egypt. And I can imagine the Egyptians were not living as the Christians, as God's people were. Young people, don't get your examples from the world. They don't know what they're talking about. Can I help you with that? They don't know what they're talking about. Stay pure. I understand this, young person. Someday when you walk across that altar, someday. Young men, when you see your bride, enter through those back doors. As ladies, as you come down, you're going to wish you stayed pure and did it right. You're going to wish you did it right. Stay pure. Stay right. Number two, young people, is this. Grow into the young man or the young lady that God wants for you to be. Right now. Whatever age that you are, grow into the young man or young lady that you should be right now. You have people that love you, that are investing in your life, trying to teach you from the Word of God. And many times as a young people in a Christian home think, well, what do my parents know? What do my teachers know? Can I help you with this kindly? A whole lot more than you do. They love you enough. They love you enough to try to help and teach you. Listen to those that are trying to invest in your life. Pray for God's leading in your life. What can I do right now? Grow into the young man or the young lady that God wants for you to be. Pray for God's leading in your life. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do in my life, but for right now, obey what God has for you to do right now. Whether you're in third grade or 12th grade, do God's will for your life right now. Number one, how did they raise a child for the Lord? They married right. I believe that's so important. I believe that God can restore and God can put broken pieces back together. I believe that God can do that. But I believe that God's intention is for a young man and a young lady to marry right and pure and stay together and have a family to live for the Lord. Number two, how did they raise a child for the Lord? First, next, they were blessed with a child. In verse number two, the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And God saw fit to bless him with a child. I didn't understand this when I was a young person. I just thought, you get married and have a child and have a family. I did not know how much of a miracle of God it was to give a child to a home. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize how much of a blessing that was from God. And God saw fit to give them a child. And you have Aaron and Moses and Miriam, and God gave them at least these three children. I did not realize this as a young man, as a child. And there's nothing quite like, you remember this, dads, and you get that baby and hold that baby in your arms for the first time, and you think, what am I doing? They're going to send me home with this child, and I'm supposed to keep the child alive. You know, here, honey, what do I do? Pretty much, right? All the men shake their heads. Yeah, honey, I need your help. But the blessing of having a child given to you in your arms, and you realize the blessing, but then all of a sudden you realize the responsibility. The responsibility just to keep the child alive. The child's crying. What do I do? Can you tell me what to do? Can you send me a message somehow? Blink twice. I don't know. What do you want? And you realize that it's a gift from the Lord, that child. The Bible says in Psalms 127, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And I believe that we have many wonderful families in our church that are trying to raise their family to live for God. And you realize that you have a responsibility. We are at the stage in life where we have a 15-year-old that's on the verge of getting a license and a job and all that stuff, and we have two toddlers like on the verge of going into school. I feel like we're on two opposite ends of the spectrum there. Lord, what do we do? I don't know. Help me. But I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed that God would entrust us with the children that he has put in our homes. Parents, don't take your children for granted. If there's anything that I hear from the older couples in our church, is this. They tell you what? It goes by so fast, right? It goes by so fast. We have so many friends now today that have kids that are in college, starting to get married, and we're like, we're not that old. They had children really young, or I don't know, but parents, don't take your children for granted. It's so easy to ignore the most precious things in your life and take it for granted. Don't take your children for granted. You realize your children are a gift from the Lord to be used for his purpose. To be used for his purpose. I'm not trying to train the next athlete in America. I have zero desire for that. and I'm all for our sports team, and I enjoy that, and that's fun, but I'm not trying to train the next professional athlete or entertainer or musician or YouTuber. God help us from that, all right? I think some people, your life's work is you flip bottles on YouTube. You made $1 million, but your life is about flipping a bottle on YouTube. Young people tell me that your life is more than a yo-yo and a ping pong ball and something, you know. God has more purpose for your life than that. I guarantee it. Children are a blessing and a responsibility from the Lord. So number one, realize this, that they married right, I believe. I believe they were blessed as God gave them this child of Moses specifically for this story. They believed their child was special. In verse number two, we see here it says, she conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. In Hebrews chapter 11, you don't need to turn there, says that they saw he was a proper child. And in the book of Hebrews, it says they, father and mother, that they saw this was a proper and a good child. And they realized that this child was special in the sight of God. And I believe this, young person, that every person that God creates is not an accident, but is special in the sight of God. Special in the sight of God, not an accident. Society today wants to say, well, if someone has some kind of a deformity or learning disability, well, you could just, you know, do away. That is wicked. That is wicked. That is not our choice. That is God's choice. And that child is special in the sight of God. Who are we to choose if a child lives or dies? It's special in the sight of God, proper, a goodly child. They saw there was something special about this child. I love my children, but we have kind of a generation, my generation and younger, I believe in some ways that love your children, that's great, but almost to a point where parents are almost worshiping their children, if you understand what I mean. Parents that are investing everything in their life into them, and we should, but not spiritually. Not investing them into bring them to church and teach them the Bible, but they're going to be the next greatest athlete, entertainer in some way. I have no idea what God's plan is for my children, but I try to tell them often that God has a plan for your life. I don't know where it is. I don't know what God has for you to do, but God has a plan for your life. Your children should hear that from you often, parents. We should ingrain that in their minds, that God has a special plan for your life. And it's not about making millions, but if you do, come and serve the Lord and tithe at Chats to Baptist Church. Amen. But God has a plan for your life, and it's part of God's special, perfect will for you. Our children should hear that often, that God has a plan for your life. Pray for your children. Parents, pray for your children. You say they're special. Pray for them every single day. Pray for your children. Parents, pray for your children. Pray for your young people. We're raising them up in Egypt, so to say. We're raising them in the world. Pray for God's protection and blessing upon their life. Pray for your child to do God's will. Prepare your child to do God's will. Again, that's why so much I believe 1,000%, if I could add more to it, I would, in Christian education. I believe in training your child to have an education and biblically as well. They don't need to learn the junk of this world. Well, they need to know more about this world. No, they don't. They need to know more about God and His Word. They're getting an education. We're not putting that aside. But they need to know about the Lord. Prepare your child to do God's will. You notice I didn't say send your child to church to do God's will. Prepare them at home to do God's will. Sometimes I think that we believe, well, if I send my child to a school or I send them to church, that they're going to teach them to serve God. They're going to learn way more from you at home than they'll ever learn here at church. They will. It's a responsibility. They're watching our lives, parents, grandparents, Sunday school teacher. They're watching your life. Prepare your child to do God's will. And then set a pattern for them to see that you are doing God's will as well. We can't encourage them to do something that we're not doing ourselves. You know, sometimes as parents we say, well, don't do this, but I'm going to do it. You know, you can't eat ice cream, as we're eating the ice cream kind of a thing. This isn't for you, maybe when you get older. But as parents, as grandparents, influencing our young people's lives, we must give a pattern for them to follow, a faith that they can follow and say, I want to love the Lord like my mom and dad do. God can use other people to influence our young people's lives, but the best influence is you at home. It always has been and it always will be. pattern your life to do God's will. I have two more points. I'll try to go quickly for that. They provided a safe home. In verse number 2, they provided a safe home. We're still in verse 2. We're not going through all 10 verses. Don't worry. It says, when she saw he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Again, how do you hide a child for 3 months? I have no idea. Maybe when Moses started to cry, they started to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I don't know what they did. Maybe they started cooking really loud to try to drown out the crying, the noise, whatever it was. Maybe they knew when the Egyptians would come by and they try to hush him really quiet. I'm not put a bottle in his mouth. I'm not really sure. But they tried to hide him for 3 months. Why? Because they wanted to provide a safe home for their children. Home should be a safe place for them. As a father of my home, it is my job to protect my family. I would do anything to protect my family. I would lay down my life for my family in a second if I had to. And if I don't have to, I'm laying down someone else's life first, all right? Just to put that straight. Providing a safe home, physically and spiritually. Praying for God's hedge of protection around my home, but I don't want any harm coming to my family. The best of my ability, and I don't have all the ability in the world, that I want to provide a safe home for my children, but even more important, maybe a spiritual home. A spiritual home. Sometimes we do all the safety measures of, you know, don't play with the stove and don't run with knives and scissors and all that stuff, which you're not supposed to do that, kids, just so you know. But then sometimes we do this and we say, oh, it's safe, they're not going to harm themselves physically, but then we let them loose on a tablet. We let them loose on a phone. We let them go out with friends and do whatever and have no idea. You are out of your mind if you let your child do that. You might as well let them play with fire in the home. You say that hurt them. Yes, it would hurt them. Parents, it is your responsibility to protect your child spiritually at home. It's your job. I believe that I will give an answer to what I allow in my home. There's things I may know or not know, and I'm not all knowing, but the things I allow in my home is my responsibility. And I believe I'll answer to God for what happens in my home. And I want to protect my home spiritually. The devil will love nothing more than to pollute your precious, innocent children. And Satan would do anything he can to try to ruin their lives. I'm not trying to scare you, but in a way I kind of am. You think, well, my child is so good, they would never do that. Guess what? Your child has a flesh, has a sin nature, just like any other child in this world. Can I say that again? Please listen. Your child has a flesh and a sinful nature like every other child in this world. And our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And protect your child spiritually in your home. Protect where they go, what they see. You think they're going to think I'm overbearing. That's great. That's what you're supposed to be as a parent, guiding and shepherding your home that God has given to you. They provided a safe home. And then fifth tonight, they trusted God with their child. In verse number 3, it says, and when they could no longer hide him, there came a point where they couldn't keep him quiet any longer. Maybe he was getting close to crawling around. I'm not sure. And they realized, we can't do this any longer. Can you imagine the difficult decision they had? When it says here, they took him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes, and she daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. She took her child and made a little ark, a little craft for him, and protected it the best she could and put him by the river bank. And she went back and said, God, he's in your hands. I've done all that I can do, and at 3 months old, you know, you think 18 years old, and I'm sure at 18 years old we're going to think, man, I did not prepare and do enough, but 3 months old. And at some point, parent, from the beginning on, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust God. Sometimes we try to think, well, I can do all that I can do, and we almost take God out of the equation, and that we've got to micromanage everything, and we need to be involved. But you're going to have to put your child in God's hand. Because who's the one that gave you that child to begin with? It was God. Who's the one that will protect that child? God will. And they took that child, Moses, and put him in the riverbank. And as Miriam went by to see what was going to happen, and the little mother, right? The girls always end up mothering the little boys, so that's probably how that went. And she went by to watch what was happening, and Pharaoh's daughter came by and took him out of the river and went home to nurse, and you know the rest of the story. But there came a point where she had to send him out and say, God, his life is in your hands. Too many parents have a hard time with just saying, okay, you can do whatever God wants you to do with your life. Go ahead. Some parents say, like, no, you can't do that. You can't serve God there. You can't do that, because how about we trust God? How about we not fool? I'm not saying be foolish, but trust God with your children's lives. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Trust God. They trusted God with their child. Again, God has blessed our homes, our church, so much. And we have young people, I believe, that if, young people, if you decide to live for God with your life, and my prayer is that 100% of our young people decide to live for God. It breaks my heart every time a young person turns away from God, turns their back on God. But if every one of the young people in this room live for God, wherever that may be, whatever God has you to do, that's not for me to say, not for you to say, that's between them and God. What a blessing that would be. The Bible says in 3 John, I believe it is, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And what a joy that would be to send your children out someday and say, hey, they're living for God. They're living for God. They're doing what God had for them. Again, Moses one day would be the great leader of Israel and go up between God and Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and lead them out of Egypt and cross on the Red Sea and all they would do. Incredible story that would not have happened without godly parents, Amram and Jochebed. Parents that decided, I want to raise a child. I want to raise a child to live for God. I want to raise a child to do God's will for their life. We have some great young people, but young people, you're going to have to decide to give God your life. You're going to have to decide, God, this is your life, not mine. Parents, you're going to have to decide that as well. You want to raise a family to live for God? What a blessing that would be. What a joy that would be. Much of that comes down to your home and your desire to live for God and to raise that young person for the Lord. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, I believe that we have a bunch of wonderful godly parents in this room tonight, godly grandparents, praying for your child, teaching them the Word of God, bringing them to church, put them in a Christian school, investing in them spiritually. Young person, I hope you see the investment that's being made in your life. The investment, the hours, the money, the time, the prayers that has been being poured into your life. Young person, do you see it? Do you see it? So many young people, they take that and they say, oh, forget this thing of living for God. I'm going to do whatever I want. What a shame that would be to take all that investment, the love that God has given to you, the salvation that God's plan for your life, and then to throw that away, to live for the world. Moses chose to reject living for the world because he wanted to live for God. May we have a group of young people today that would raise up and have a mighty army to stand up and live for God and do what's right. And I believe that we have a bunch of godly parents, grandparents, teachers that are praying, investing, loving our young people to try to help point them in the right direction. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? God, I pray that you'd move in this invitation time tonight. Lord, however you see fit, maybe it's a young person that says, I've been kind of fighting against God and fighting against my parents and a bad attitude and not living for God. And you say, I need to realize that there's an investment in my life, first of all, by the Lord, by others that love God, and realize I'm trying to fight God's will in my life. Maybe we have some parents tonight that have been maybe not being very diligent in seeking and training God and following after the Lord. May we have our hearts right with God tonight. God, move in this invitation time as you see fit. If there's anyone here tonight that does not know Christ as your Savior, you don't know if you died today, you go to heaven. Tonight, would you trust in Him alone? We'd love to show you from the Word of God. If you come and meet Brother James in the front, we'll have a man show a man or a lady show a lady from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're saved. Head bowed and eyes closed, as God has spoken to your heart, would you come tonight? The invitation begins as the ladies begin to play. Would you come? Young person, you have an investment made in your life. You have a sacrifice. You have, first of all, a God that loves you, gave his life for you, has a perfect plan and a will for your life. You don't want to miss it. So many young people grow up and never know God's will and plan for their life. Don't miss it, young person. Parent, God has a plan for your life. Would you dedicate yourselves, husband and wives, together to raise a family to live for God? Spending some time in prayer, training, teaching. Lord, we ask for your help tonight, Lord, to have strength, to have wisdom, to love you, Lord, to do what's right, to follow your will. Lord, I know that we'll never be disappointed if we live for you. We'll never regret a moment of doing right, following God and his word, not for a bit. I pray that we wouldn't know the regrets of living for this world. Lord, thank you for your love, for your investment in our lives. I pray you bless this service. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. You may be seated for just a moment tonight. Thank you again for our young people and our service tonight for your participation with that. A couple announcements, and then we have the dessert auction. Why don't we parade the desserts down the aisles, and we'll kind of wave the smells down there as you go by. And we will not force you to stay, but you're going to want to stay. Maybe to see the fighting of the bidding from one section to the other. We'll give a couple announcements as they bring these up, and then we'll dismiss our parents to get your kids from nursery and that as well. I think that aisle's a little bit blocked there, guys. They'll figure it out. All right, great. This Tuesday is our midweek service, not Wednesday, but Tuesday at 6:30. We're going to have everyone here in the service. We will not have King's Kids, Bus, Teen Class, any of that. Tuesday night service at 6:30, our Thanksgiving Eve service. I don't know if that's what you call it or not. Want to encourage you to be here for that. And then let's see here. If you want to help someone for the holidays, if you put that in the Deacon's Fund in the other category to help someone for Thanksgiving or Christmas, that'd be a blessing. If you need help, come and see me tonight if you would. Please don't offer for somebody else. But if someone needs help for the holiday, come and see me. We'd like to help those that are in our church. We can't help everyone outside the church, if you understand. But if you'd like to give, that would be a blessing. I know you're not hearing anything I'm saying because the desserts are walking by you. Last thing is this, and then I'll let you stare at the desserts longer. Just don't drop them, guys. Would you pray for these young men as they come up not to drop these? Last thing is this. We have a deacon election December the 18th during our annual budget business meeting. December 18th. If you're interested in becoming a deacon at Shasta Baptist Church, please get the requirement sheet, read that over, and see if that's something that the Lord would have for you to do. And see me if you have any questions or if you're interested. But we have those information sheets on the information station. All right, we're going to close in a word of prayer. And parents, if you have kids in the nursery and you're staying for the dessert auction, get your kids and come back. And then dessert auction will happen in a moment. And we'll bid on these. It's a fundraiser for our school. And just a reminder, I'll encourage you with this. You can pay by cash, check, or with credit card as well. And so you can charge it up if you want to. Don't go in debt for that, but it's a fundraiser for the school, but they have the Square Cash terminal for that. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we will dismiss for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for a wonderful Sunday. Thank you for souls that were saved and lives that were encouraged and challenged. I pray that you bless this auction to come and help the young people in our school. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. You can stick around here for it'll start in just a minute. Get your kids from nursery, and then bidding will begin. More came in. Oops, didn't realize that was still on.